ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we will conclude this section today with the last four verses, 12, 14, 15 and 16. So last time I was mentioning that there are six benefits of Krishna Katha which Vidurji is describing. And in the course of that discussion, the point came that Vidura is explaining in verse number 10 that Atrapnuma Kshulla Sukhavahanam Teshamrute Krishna Kathamrutoghat Paravaresham Bhagavan Shrutani Bhagavan Vratani Shrutani Me Vyasa Mukhat Abhikshanam. So Vidura is very clearly explaining, I heard repeatedly the Mahabharata, but still I am not satisfied by hearing the descriptions of Mahabharata. Therefore, explain to me pure Krishna Katha. And thus, in verse number 12 and 14, he is giving a clarification. Because then someone may doubt the validity of Srila Vyasadeva's description of all of these literatures. If these literatures like Mahabharata cannot give the highest level of satisfaction and leave a reader or a student dissatisfied, as Vidura is explaining, then what is the purpose of writing this Mahabharata? Might as well have given complete Srimad Bhagavatam only. And therefore, in verse number 12 and 14, he is giving the clarification. So verse number 12 says, Munir vivakshur bhagavad gunanam sakhapite bharataha krishna yasmindranam gramya sukhanu vadair matir grihitanu hare kathayam. So he is explaining in this verse that matir Munir vivakshur bhagavat gunanam. Now the transcendental qualities, Munir vivakshur, have been described. By whom? Sakhapite. By your friend. So he is referring to Vyasadev as Maitreya Rishi's good friend. Sakhapite Bharatam Ah Krishna. So Mahabharata has already been described. Certain qualities have been mentioned already in the Mahabharata. Aha Krishna, and has described who? Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, who is the friend of Maitreya Rishi. So what is the purpose of this Mahabharata? Explaining in the last two lines of this verse. Yasmin Rinam Gramya Sukhanu Vadair. Yasmin means in which. That means in the Mahabharata, Nrinam, a common person would be able to fix his mind and intelligence. Why? Gramya Sukhanu Vadair. Generally, people of the world are attracted to worldly topics. And therefore, Gramya Sukha Anuvadair. Those who are attached to hearing about the news, information, politics and diplomacy of this world, a certain subject matter has to be created which will make them attached. And then gradually when they become attracted to these worldly topics, and then in the midst of all of these politics, diplomacy and intrigue, pure transcendental knowledge is also present. And that is the Bhagavad Gita. So Matir Grihita Nu Harir Kathayam. Matir Grihita means to draw the attention towards. Matir Grihita. Mati means intelligence or attention. So to attract attention of the common people towards what? Harer Kathayam, towards Krishna Katha. This kind of a description of Mahabharata has been given. Therefore, as far as Vedanta Sutra is concerned, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, 3 points regarding Vedanta Sutra. Who is the target audience for Vedanta Sutra? For whom is Vedanta Sutra meant? So 3 things Prabhupada mentions. 1, for persons already above mundane topics. Secondly, he says, he might have already tasted the bitterness of so-called happiness of mundane affairs. Right? And thirdly, who has finished the business of mundane inquiries in the marketplace of sense gratification. So one is he's transcendental, 2 is he's frustrated, 3 is he is finished all mundane inquiries. So very nice sentence Prabhupada writes, was finished all his business in marketplace of sense gratification, can make relevant inquiries. Therefore, for such exalted, elevated persons, the Vedanta Sutra can make direct sense. So as Prabhupada mentions in one of the purport, that the subject matter is esoteric and the methods used are very scholarly as far as Vedanta Sutra is concerned, and it is not easily accessible to any common man. And secondly, Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, and if anyone tries to understand Vedanta Sutra without taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, then he will become misguided. And therefore, not possible for all to directly get connected with the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is a commentary of the Vedanta Sutra, and these same reasons also apply to Srimad Bhagavatam in some ways. Therefore, the third literature, Mahabharata, is specifically meant for less intelligent men. Right? And Prabhupada gives the example that just like people in modern times are always engrossed with various kinds of newspapers and magazines, which is filled with politics, diplomacy, etc. So Mahabharata is filled with these kind of politics. It is filled with palace politics. The largest selling magazines, the largest selling newspapers practically discuss more than 50 to 60% politics. And Mahabharata is just filled with all kinds of politics and intrigue. And therefore, as soon as people hear these plots, the common man is attracted, because he has a relish for these kind of things. Therefore, those who cannot understand the purpose of Vedanta Sutra, although they may make a show of studying this Vedanta Sutra, for them, this Mahabharata is very good. That means a person can actually act at his level and then realize that, yes, I am not so spiritually advanced, I have a taste for mundane topics. So therefore, when he becomes attached to hearing these stories about what happened between these different kings, what happened between these different dynasties, how was this Draupadi tortured, and how was Karna going to take revenge. So all of these topics are connected, not in a transcendental way, but they are basically topics of politics and family life and various kinds of other complications which a person normally sees in material life. So when a person starts reading the Mahabharata, he becomes very attached to that plot. And therefore the drama is so gripping that ultimately a person is unable to stop reading it. And then he has to come to the stage when both the armies are assembled. And when both the armies are assembled, right at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there Krishna and Arjuna are standing. And then Arjuna becomes confused, and then Krishna starts speaking. And therefore people, even if they want to miss that, they cannot miss that because they have now come to that stage. So they have to go through the whole Gita. So when they go through the whole Gita, the real essence of all of the Vedic literatures, the ultimate purpose and purport of the Vedic literatures is given. The conclusion is there. Vedeshcha sarvair aham eva vedyo aham sarvasya prabhu. All the ultimate conclusions are there in that. So Mahabharata is just like a capsule. And the capsule may have an outside cover, but inside is the real medicine, that powder. So that Gita, 700 shlokas, is the real powder of the capsule of other 1 lakh verses. And therefore, we find that Srila Vyasadeva had a very specific purpose in attracting the attention of misguided persons. So misguided persons interested in mundane affairs, philanthropic affairs, altruistic affairs, they can become attracted to the Mahabharata, they can take advantage of this literature. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada concludes that Vyasadeva compiled Mahabharata in such a way for less intelligent men, those who are interested in mundane topics, so that they may read this Mahabharata with great relish and in the course of such mundane happiness, take advantage of Bhagavad Gita, which is a preliminary study of Vedanta Sutra or Srimad Bhagavatam. So that means, all of those discussions when Duryodhana is dealing with Karna and all of these other things are in one sense more or less mundane. But then gradually there is presence of Krishna, and then Krishna slowly builds the whole plot in such a way that it comes to the Bhagavad Gita. So anything connected with Krishna is definitely spiritual, but then the entire essence is actually displayed in that 700 verses. But unfortunately, although the purpose of this Mahabharata is to present the Gita, it is nothing but a nicely packaged version by which pure transcendental science can be given to those who are not so much interested. People in Kali Yuga are so clever that they would rather take the entire Mahabharata except the Gita. You have book tables in December marathons and people will come and say, you have Gita at discount? No, I want Mahabharata on discount. Do you have the Mahabharata? So they will not take the Gita. Whereas this is the essence. And therefore, in the 11th canto it is described, paroksha vado vedoyam balanam anushasanam. That means, sometimes a child may not take the medicine directly. So the medicine is mixed with some sugar candy and then given. So when the person, paroksha vado vadoyam balanam anushasanam. So in that purport, this analogy is given that if you mix some medicine with sugar candy, then because the candy is very sweet, so the child is attracted to taste that. But along with that, the medicine is also there. So generally this is the concept of all the Vedic literatures. And therefore, Srila Vyasadeva, he did not have any desire to mislead the masses. He did not have desire to lead all the conditioned souls astray. But a person generally who would not be attracted to anything spiritual, he has to be gradually purified. And therefore, in stages, purification is performed by giving literatures which is at different levels. And therefore the Mahabharata is described in this way. So Prabhupada says, he had no interest in writing a history of mundane activities than to give less intelligent persons a chance for transcendental realization through Gita. So one should not think that Vyasadeva suddenly started feeling that I have given too many transcendental things, now let me give something mundane also, which will sell in the market. And then so he wrote an entire literature filled with all kinds of, if you read the Mahabharata, pages and pages only describing how the war taking place. You know, you have to go through pages and pages, several chapters you have to go through, then some mention of Krishna may come. And even when that mention comes, then his role becomes very, very doubtful how exactly Krishna is acting. So the actual transcendental position of Krishna does not become evident through the Mahabharata except in that section where there is the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna is directly making unequivocal statements. And so here Vidurji is explaining that as far as Vyasadeva is concerned, he wrote the Mahabharata so that Matir Grihita Nu Harir Kathayam Yasmin Indranam Gramya Sukhanu Vadair, that people would be normally attracted to mundane topics. They want to be attracted to mundane subject matters, therefore, to catch their attention. Matir Grihitanu Hare Kathayam. Another example is given in 11th canto, is that just like a rose flower is there, so a honeybee comes and sits on the rose flower, and the honeybee just takes the essence of the rose flower without destroying the petals of the rose. That is the expertise of the honey. So even after that nectar has been taken away from the rose still looks the same, remains the same. It does not lose its shape or form or its fragrance. Similarly, Krishna is like an expert honeybee. He has given the entire Vedic literatures, and each petal of that rose flower is like one Vedic literature. So different Vedic literatures are there. They are just compared to a beautiful rose. But Krishna, in spite of providing all of this, still like an expert honeybee, just comes and from that very Vedic literatures takes the essence and then gives the essence to those who are qualified and who may be interested without disturbing the order of those Vedic literatures, without undermining the importance of those Vedic literatures. The Vedic literature still remain, still the essence is also distributed. Just like the honeybee comes, takes the nectar, still the rose remains as it is. Therefore, Vyasadeva has given this entire Mahabharata, and this Mahabharata is ultimately meant for attracting the attention of conditioned souls towards Krishna Katha. So in the next verse, he describes, in text 14 actually, that what is, if those who miss the scheme of Vyasadeva wants that everyone's attention should turn towards Harikatha, but in spite of all of Srila Vyasadeva's efforts, if one is not attracted towards Krishna, one is not attracted towards Krishna Katha, then text number 14 he says, Tan shocha shochyan avidonu shoche harer kathayam nu vimukhan aghena kshinoti devo nimishastu yesham ayur vritha vadagati smritinam. So 12th verse describes what is the purpose of all of these Vedic literatures. The attention should be attracted towards Krishna Katha. And 14th verse describes, if the attention is not attracted towards Krishna Katha and one rejects Krishna Katha, one does not accept Krishna Katha, what is his condition? What is his gati? So he says here in this verse, 3.5.14. So he says that those who miss the purpose, for them there are two effects. One, they are pitiable. They are pitiable. And number two, their entire life is wasted. These are the two effects of not having connection with Krishna Katha. So as far as pitiable is concerned, he makes a very nice, wonderful, poetic first line. Tan shocha shochyan avido nu shoche harer kathayam vimukhan aghena. So one becomes vimukha or averse to Harikatha because of aghena, because of sins. A sinful person will become averse to Harikatha. So such a person is described in a very poetic way in the first line. Tan shochya shochyan avido anushochye. So this is, shoch means pity. So this is coming three times. Pity, pitiable, pitiable. Right. So what this actually means is, there are those who are completely engrossed in sense gratification, who are simply trying to enjoy their senses. And for them, they are averse to the existence of God, considering God to be order supplier. So when those devotees who are situated in sattvagun, not devotees, the impersonalists, impersonalists who are situated in sattvagun, who have controlled their senses, and they turn towards these materialistic people who are completely under the influence of rajogun and tamogun, they consider them pitiable. They pity such sense gratifiers, thinking that they are simply suffering. So for them, those who are in sattvagun, those in rajogun and tamogun, the sense gratifiers, sense enjoyers become pitiable. But for those who are in shuddha sattva, those who are devotees, who are already connected with Krishna, when they look upon the impersonalists and see that the impersonalists have no connection with Krishna and they have no attachment to Krishna's seva, so then the devotees, they pity the impersonalists. And therefore, it is described here that they pity the ones who are pitiable, who pity those who are in modes of passion and ignorance like that. So Prabhupada makes a very nice comment like that. Right? So therefore, both waste their valuable time in false pursuits. So those who are in sattvagun, those who are attached to the impersonal concept, or those who are attached to sense gratification, both are pitiable for the devotees. And that's what is described here. Kshinoti devo animishastu yesham ayur vritha vadagati smriti nam. So it is described here, ayur vritha means wasted life. Ayu or age or the life is wasted in vada, gati and smriti nam. Gati means false destinations, vada means different kinds of arguments or logic, and smriti nam, different smritis. Kshinoti devo animesashtu yesham. In this way, those who are devotees, they get the real essence of Krishna Katha. And those who are not devotees, they just waste their entire life. And therefore they are pitiable. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport these two disadvantages or the effects of not taking seriously Krishna Katha. And so in text number 15 and 16, the last two verses, Vidura is concluding with an earnest plea for hearing Harikatha. Text 15 is giving kind of conclusion that the essence of all topics is Krishna Katha. And text 16, Vidura is specifically requesting Maitreya Rishi to describe a certain topic which he wants to hear. So text 15 says, Tadeva kausharava sharmadhatu harir katham eva katha susaram udritya pushpebya ivarta bando shivajana kirtaya tirtha kirtehe. So it is beautiful verse where Vidurji is saying, Tadeva kausharava sharmadhatu. So as far as Harikatha is concerned, it awards very good fortune. Harir Katham, this Harikatha, Eva Kathasusaram, it is the essence of all topics. This Harikatha is the essence of all topics. So I do not want to hear any other topic. I only want to hear Harikatha, which is the essence. Kathasu Saram. Saram means the essence. And in this way, he is begging, just give me this essence. And then he says, Udritya Pushpebhya Ivarta Bandho. He is glorifying Maitreya Rishi as Artha Bandho. Artha Bandho means friend of the distressed. My dear Maitreya Rishi, for those who are in distressful condition in this material life, there is only one solution, that is Harikatha. That can only help one cross this ocean of nisains. So that means the real solution to all distress is Harikatha and Ivartha Bandho. And therefore, it is described that Bhuridajana. Bhuridajana means those are very magnanimous, great personalities, because they are distributing this medicine. Udritya. Udritya means quoting, by quoting. Pushpebhya Ivartha Bandho Shivayana. Shiva means for welfare or for auspiciousness. Kirtaya Tirtha Kirte. Please describe these glories which will purify us, which will purify the entire worlds, and which will be for the benefit of all the souls. Therefore it is described, Udritya Pushpebhya Ivartha Bandho. That means from all of the Vedic literatures, you quote in such a way that I get the essence of all these literatures. So therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport, that as far as impersonalists, non-believers, mundaners, sense gratifiers, mental speculators, whatever they describe and discuss is all nonsense. Right? As Prabhupada said one time about newspapers, he said newspaper means what the rascals are doing. That means it's filled with mundane information which is of no use to anyone. And both have nothing to say of God and deny the essence of all topics. Therefore, talks of Krishna and nothing else is the real essence. Udritya Pushpebhya Ivartha Bandhoho Shivayana. Shivaya means for welfare. For welfare. And that is why many times the people they criticize the Hare Krishna movement, that what are you doing for the welfare of society? So this is real welfare. We are dealing with a subject matter which can help us cross the ocean of birth and death. All the other scientists, philosophers, philanthropists, altruists, they are dealing with old age and disease. Nobody is dealing with birth and death. So Srimad Bhagavatam is dealing with solution to birth and death. And therefore this is the essence. Kathasusaram. Harer Katham Eva Kathasusaram Tadeva Kausharava Sharmadatu. It awards all good fortune. Actually, Prabhupada was one time sitting in Vrindavan, and one of his Brajavasi friends came to meet him. This was before Srila Prabhupada went to the West. And Prabhupada was writing the purport to his Bhagavatam, and then this Brajavasi friend came and he told Srila Prabhupada that, what are you doing, Swamiji? And Srila Prabhupada had this pen in the hand, and he just showed this pen, and he said, do you know what I am writing? And he showed the pen and he said, this is Parker. So Parker, he said, I am giving people the message by which they can cross over birth and death. Parker in Sanskrit means Parkarjana, to cross the ocean. Right? So from this Parker, such knowledge is coming out, that by taking that Parker, Parkarenge, Nayyare, Krishna Kanaya. So Parker means to cross. So that's what I am giving. If anyone takes shelter of these purports, they will very easily cross the ocean of birth and death. And so in text 16, Vidura is specifically requesting that which pastime he would like to hear. Saha Vishva Janma Sthiti Sanyamarthe Kritavatara Pragrihita Shakti Chakara Karmani Atipurushani Yanishvara Kirtayatani Mahyam. So he's describing that Saha Vishva Janma Sthiti Sanyamarthe. I want to hear which pastime? The pastime of Krishna creating this material world. About him in his Purusha incarnation, which he manifests with full potencies. Sthiti Sanyamarthe Krita Avatara. That means he accepts incarnations. Krita Avatara Pragrihita Shakti. Apne anek shaktiyon ke saath, along with his different potencies, through his potencies. And in this way, Chakara Karmani, these activities which are not ordinary, Ati Purushani, these are Ati Manaviya activities, these are transcendental activities, not ordinary mundane activities. Therefore, Yanishvara Kirtaya, please chant these superhuman activities of Krishna, Tani Mahiyam, for me. And so, he actually is asking this very important question, in response to which Maitreya Rishi describes in great detail about how the secondary creation takes place and how all of these different aspects of the Lord's creation. So all of this is in response to these questions of Vidurji. So Srila Prabhupada writes very nice purport in which he says that Vidura could have also asked directly about Krishna Leela or Krishna's pastimes. But because he was feeling separation from Krishna, because Krishna had just passed away from this visible world, so Vidurji wanted to hear about these Purusha incarnations to get the feeling that Krishna is still here. And in this way, he was requesting that please describe these pastimes where the creative potencies are described in detail. So like this, this section is ending here with text number 16. So these are the last four verses of this section, 13, 14, 15 and 16. So again, I'll just summarize from the beginning that the first verse we just discussed about Vidura's qualities as to who is Vidura, and he's described as the best of the Kurus because he's a great devotee, and not only just a great devotee, he's described as Achyuta Bhava Siddha. He's a perfected devotee, but he's so humble that he's still, although he has had personal association of Krishna, he is very elevated, but still papriccha saushilya gunabhitripta. He is endowed with all kinds of divine qualities, very gentle, has nice Vaishnava qualities, and he is displaying this quality of humility by approaching Maitreya Rishi. Although he is achyuta bhava siddha, he is in perfected stage. Then in the second, third and fourth verses, there is this description of how he is surrendering to Maitreya Rishi, how he takes shelter of Maitreya Rishi with utter humility, expressing his fallen condition, comparing himself to normal mundane persons engaged in fruitive activities, then glorifying Maitreya Rishi by saying that he's a very, very magnanimous soul who travels all around the world for benefiting the conditioned souls. Janasya Krishnat Vimukha Sadaivat Adharma Shilasya Sudukhitasya. So therefore, because of Adharma Shila, everyone is distressed. Anugraha Eva Charanti Nunam. And therefore, out of great anugraha, out of great compassion, charanti, great souls like you, great philanthropic souls like you travel, bhutani, bhavyani, janardhanasya. You are the real bhavyani, real philanthropists, who are performing philanthropic activities in connection with janardhanasya, in connection with Krishna. Otherwise, any other philanthropic activity is of no use. And then, the fourth verse, it is described, and unless someone is very highly realized, it is very difficult to have this kind of an understanding, because there is pastime of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also, that there was Bengal famine going on, and there was a lot of funds collected for some diorama exhibits, and the Indian National Congress came to know about it. Big leaders, including Gandhi, were standing in front of Gaudiya Math and shouting slogans and demanding that the money should be returned for this Bengal famine relief work. But then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was very firm. He said, you feed these people one day, next day again they will be hungry. But this money is for food for the soul. And then he stuck to his point. He did not give this money at all, and went on to make these diorama exhibits, and that was made in a ship, and it was in the Calcutta docks, and so many people came and they took benefit of this. But to have this kind of conviction when practically the whole state is facing one of the greatest natural disasters or calamities, and still feel that no, Krishna consciousness is the real medicine, is the real solution. It is only possible if someone is coming from the spiritual world, is like a person empowered by the Lord, and he understands perfectly. Otherwise, normally, anyone would come under pressure and feel, okay, let us do something immediately. So therefore, he understood that unless some relief is performed in connection with Krishna, bhutani bhavyani janardhanasya, unless we give them Krishna katha, unless we give them Krishna consciousness, this is the real benefit, this is the real welfare. And so in the third verse, he is requesting that you please describe to me this Krishna katha. Tat sadhvarya adisha vartma shamna. So by this, a potential difference is created. He's expressing his fallen condition, glorifying Maitreya Rishi, and when there is a difference established, and then the knowledge can flow. And so in this way, he's establishing that difference and then requesting that please give that knowledge to me. So then text 5 to 8. So text 1 is, who is Vidura? Text 2, 3, 4 is, how does he hear? Text 5 to 9 is, what does he want to hear? So who, how and what. So in what he wants to hear, then text 5 was who is creating, text 6 is how he creates through his different energies, text 7 is why he creates, in order to attract the attention of the conditioned souls, ultimately towards his lotus feet, purify their desires and then take them back to Godhead. And what does he create? All of these different planets with different facilities for fulfilling the desires. And in that, the different allotment of the souls according to their desires is also made by Krishna. So, who creates, how he creates, why he creates and what he creates. And then text 10, 11 and 13, we described that what are the benefits, why Vidura wants to hear. Why does he want to hear? Because he understands that he is going to get certain benefits by hearing Krishna Katha. So we discuss 6 benefits: satisfaction, detachment, indifference, remembrance, enjoyment and freedom from all miseries. And then he gives the example of how even the Mahabharata is ultimately designed in such a way that it can attract one's attention towards Krishna Katha. And if someone is not attracted, he is really pitiable. And thus, Krishna Katha is the ultimate essence of all topics. And in this way, in 16th verse, he is asking Maitreya Rishi to describe the glories of Krishna in connection with his creative pastimes. So like this, these 16 verses we have discussed from the 5th chapter of the 3rd canto. And further in great detail, many wonderful sections also come in this canto. So just one verse I would like to quote, which I found in, I think, Gaudiya Kantar, or I don't know which book. This is describing the special feature of Srimad Bhagavatam. Veda Puranam Kavyam Cha Priyam Mitra Prabhur Cha Bodhayanti Ti Prahur Tribhidatai Gobija. So he says in this that Veda Puranam Kavyam Cha Prabhur Mitram Priyevacha Bodhayanti Iti Prahur Trivit Bhagavata Punap. So as far as Bhagavatam is concerned, the special feature of Bhagavatam is described in this. The instructions are given in different literatures. Vedah Puranam Kavyam Cha. So the Vedas, the Puranas, and the Kavyam. So all the three, they give instruction in different styles. The Veda style is Prabhur. The Veda gives instruction just like a master gives to his servant. Do this, don't do this. This is perfect, this is not perfect. This must be done. So there are no questions. If master tells the servant, do this, no questions. Right? Like in army, the commander, he may give a big lecture and then he will ask, any questions? Someone raises hand, he will say, okay, put 20 kilos on your back and run for 20 miles and come back. Why? How can you ask questions? This is army. After describing so much in detail, still you have question? This is the only treatment. Then nobody else in that division has any questions again after they have seen this. So master means no questions, just follow. So Vedas means no reasons given. Prabhur, do this, do this, do this. Bombardment, barrage of instructions. And Puranam, Veda Puranam Kavyam Cha Prabhur Mitram. So Puranas, they are little more lenient. So they give instructions just like a friend. So when the friend gives instructions, he gives instructions but while giving some reasons, explanations. This is good for you. This is very nice. By this you will benefit. If you don't do this, then you will be harmed in this way. If you do this, you will benefit like this. So logic is given, reason is given. So he cajoles or tries to coax you into doing something with proper reason. So there is a friendliness involved. So mitram. So Puranas, they give instructions like that. And Kavyam, the Kavyas or the poetry in the Vedic literatures, they give instructions like Priyam. Just like a lover may try to coax the beloved. A mother may try to coax the child. Or the husband may try to coax the wife, or wife may try to coax the husband. With love. Right. You must do this. Why? Because I am saying so. And then in very sweet words, very nice sweet words, very, very wonderfully, you know, described. So wonderful poetry which completely captivates the heart and one feels, I must do this. So as far as Bhagavatam is concerned, it is described here, Bodhayanti iti prahur trivrit Bhagavatam puna. So as far as Bhagavatam is concerned, it contains all the three. It instructs in all the three ways. In certain sections of Bhagavatam, there is direct instructions, do this. Certain sections, there is reason and logic given. And certain sections, it is just so sweet that you just follow. It is just filled with nectar. So like that. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is a very, very special literature. And we are all very fortunate that His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has, for the first time in the history of, you know, Vaishnava literatures, given such simple, wonderful purports in the English language. Otherwise, the general format of giving purports is in Sanskrit and very complicated, with so many references and cross-references. And unless you are not only well-versed in Sanskrit but also the other literatures, you can't really understand what's going on. Srila Prabhupada has given purports for a common man, anyone at any stage. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, why in your purports you open second canto, it appears practically same. One must practice Krishna consciousness, one must chant Hare Krishna, one must do this. You open eighth canto, practically the same thing appears in those purports also. So why is it that in practically every canto it appears that you are repeating the message? Prabhupada said that I am not sure whether people will go through this again and again. So whenever they go through it, they should get the complete message of Krishna consciousness any canto they open, any time they open, anywhere they open. Therefore, sometimes one may find that the message is repeated. But as Prabhupada says, that this repetition is not a mistake, but it is necessary to drive home a point. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's purports are very, very special. And hence we should know that just like we can see, although Vidura is Achyuta Bhava Siddha, he is Siddha. But what is the topic he wants to hear? Creation. How the creation takes place. Right, so he is not wanting to hear any advanced esoteric topics. And so Srila Prabhupada has therefore described, one should go through the Bhagavatam systematically from the beginning till the end. So I'm grateful that here in VIHE you are doing wonderful efforts to study scrutinizingly Srila Prabhupada's books, and by your mercy I've also obtained a chance to come here and share a few things, and I hope that in future I may also get a chance to take one of these courses if I'm fortunate enough. Thank you Maharaj. So any comments, or Maharaj, you would like to add some realizations, some verses to... This, I don't remember, this was a long time back. This is quoted in also one of Satyaraj Prabhu's books. I don't remember which one. You know, Stephen Rosen, he brings out... I'm not sure, one of these places. He's just mentioning about, he's just comparing Bhagavatam to the Vedas. I think in... it is there in... There is a talk of Stephen Rosen with some scholars, that Satyaraj Prabhu is having a conversation with some scholars. There is a book on that.
Oh, you mean Professor Hart or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Where he's going into the Vedas, and while mentioning about not Christianity.
East-West dialogue, not that.
No, I just have one chit here. I have not written the reference. I just saw this, but I remember it's from one of his. He's just quoting and kind of expressing how Bhagavatam is superior to all these Vedas. Because I think it was some Vedic scholar he was talking to. You can check out if it's there in a folio somewhere. Veda Puranam Kavyam Cha. But this is just about it. There's the translation he mentions. Doesn't give any further. Vedaha Puranam Kavyam Cha. Prabhur Mitram Priyevacha Bodhayanti Iti Prahu Tribhrit Bhagavatam Puna. Any questions? Yeah, that's
from the verse of report to, it says, at the time of the Kathmandu,
There is no translation to that. For devotees, the biggest agha is aparad. Biggest. In fact, when someone comes to Krishna consciousness, he gets that taste in the initial days, and that is a kind of glimpse of what nectar is potentially available in Krishna consciousness when there is no offense. Because we are ignorant. So when you are in ignorance, Krishna does not consider offense. So therefore, in the initial days, the chanting and, you know, that we get that kind of a kick, or get attracted to Krishna consciousness intensely. But then we reach a plateau, and then things continue like that. That is because the offenses creep in. So all the different types of offenses, they are greatest impediments. And unless one overcomes that, it is very difficult. Therefore, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed cloud of anarthas. So in that, this is also described in great detail. Offenses to other living entities, offenses to devotees, offenses to deities. So all these things are there. So to the offenses to name. So all of these offenses, they add up and they are great obstacles in our hearing. Like, I think Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Gorakhpur, and there were many devotees who were sleeping. Then Prabhupada, he just stopped in the middle, and then I think he chastised or something, and some devotee gave the explanation that because we have not taken sufficient rest and we are tired. And Prabhupada said, no, even if you sleep sufficiently, still you will sleep in the class because the taste is not there. And the taste develops gradually in the association of devotees by serving submissively and by protecting oneself from offenses. Another time Srila Prabhupada was chastising few people because they were just discussing about different devotees. So this prajalpa is also a great impediment. So prajalpa, or discussing mundane topics, that also pollutes our consciousness and destroys the desire to hear about Krishna. So these are some of the sins. As Rupa Goswami has clearly described, six things: Atyahar, Prayasascha, Prajalpa, Niyamagra, Janasanga, Laulya. These are the six main agha as far as we are concerned. We should be very careful about. Vimukhan aghena. Any other questions? Yeah. Oh, sections of Bhagavatam where Maharaj, there is a question that let us try to think of sections where these three descriptions that Srimad Bhagavatam is instructing, like master, like a friend, like a lover, which sections we can think of for each of these three?
Specific sections.
Yeah, specific sections. Yeah, I have not thought about it, but we can do an exercise. Yeah. Uddhav Gita is like what? Master or like friend?
Chapter 12.
Yeah.
The whole 11, 12,
13, 14,
13,
14
the whole
15 also.
Of there, by Narad Muni's conversations, that's like a master.
Yeah.
I mean, whole,
how vanaprasthi should be, picture, sannyasi should be,
that,
ideal grihastha ashram,
the
instructions.
The very shows Narad Muni sitting on the Vyasasana lecture. You know, that's definitely master's.
Then I think as a friend,
when Narada is talking with Krishnavari, he had to be talking with him on a friendly platform.
Yeah.
The king couldn't understand.
Puranjan pastime.
Describing all the analogies, that was on a friend, and Narada speaking on a friendly platform.
Yeah. Actually, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport why Narad Muni had to describe all of these things in a very indirect way. Because if ultimately he had to stop King Prachini Barishas from performing those animal sacrifices, he could have just told him, stop animal sacrifices. But he couldn't do that because, number one, Narad Muni himself, a Vedic sannyasi, so he could not just go against the Vedas. So his job was more difficult than Buddha, because Buddha had come simply to just say, no Vedas. But if Narad Muni had said, no animal sacrifices, that would have implicitly meant Vedas are wrong. So he couldn't deny the authority of the Vedas. So he had a more difficult challenge of stopping animal sacrifices at the same time upholding the dignity of the Vedas. So what we get is long pastime of Puranjan going this way and that way.
But the other aspect of that was because Barishat didn't have the Barishat didn't have the Shraddha at the time.
Yeah.
He had no Shraddha to take instructions. Just like when Narada was testing Dhruva, you know, by saying that you should be peaceful. You know, you should be peaceful and meditate here in the forest. And Dhruva said, look, I'm a Kshatriya, I can't hear that, you know. That's very formidable, but I'm a Kshatriya and I just can't hear that right now. Marty couldn't hear.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
what
why
problem?
He did all these indirect things to bring him to the point of surrendering.
Right.
Much, then he could tell him straight.
Well, yeah.
What was funny was that that after he went through the whole analogy that he described, then Marty said, oh, this is really, you know, analytical, allegorical, and I can't really understand it. Can you describe it again? You know? And Narada summarized it another way in the next chapter. And then he said, well, I still can't understand. And then finally Narada told him straight. Bari, I'm talking about you. Oh! But it was very interesting. I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah.
Finally he said, I'm talking about you, okay? You have to give up this fruit of desire. he eventually did tell him straight, you know. It took a while.
He tried his best.
I think the sages were very polite to the kings. You know, they were very polite to the kings. They didn't want to tread on their toes too much.
Prabhupada mentions that because Prachini Barishat was a big king and he was completely engrossed in mundane activities, so it was very difficult for him to hear anything transcendental. But kings would be always interested to hear about other kings. You know, whatever you are, you like to hear. Like ISKCON devotee like to hear about other ISKCON devotee. A software engineer like to hear about other software engineer. So there is something in common. So therefore he had to create a story of a king Puranjan. He didn't say there was an old poor Brahman named Puranjan. So then it would not have attracted so much of attention. Right? If someone talks about some big king now, then we are not so much interested as some ISKCON devotee doing this and that, and that attracts more attention. So therefore, he describes about another king and who had such a lifestyle, and therefore that attracted the attention of Prachini Barishat. So it was, as Maharaj said, indirect way, just going gradually, and definitely it is not like master, definitely like more friendly. And what about the third one, Priyam? Prabhur Mitram Priyevacha, like instructing like a lover.
Tenth canto. But even master and servant, like when Narada Muni is discussing with Vyasadeva,
it's quite heavy.
In first canto, sixth chapter. Yeah, but it appears to be, it's just confidential, you know. It's Vishramba. It's intimate, confidential, and sweet, you know? It's infinite discussions between Narada and Vyas. Very sweet. Very sweet and very nice. It's beautiful how he speaks his own personal experience.
Yeah.
Heartfeltly to his disciple. It's very sweet.
I think Krishna chastising these demigods in the 10th canto, Brahma, Indra, I think that is more like a intimate. Is
You mean with the, when he's rolling over downhill and disturbing and breaking Indra's pride?
No, and then later he gives instructions to Indra. So that is also like master telling his servant, okay, you have to reform yourself.
Or Brahmaji, Brahmaji,
he didn't speak anything. Krishna didn't speak anything in the whole.
It was just all done by yoga maya play. He didn't speak.
Yeah, he was just quiet. And then Brahma left. Of course, there is also the Rukmini Krishna conversation.
What an amazing section.
So, that 60th chapter, 10th canto. That has so many instructions which comes out from that conversation. So many.
She establishes Krishna and then she refutes him.
Yeah.
That's unique. That's actually a very unique chapter.
There are many sections like that which are like Master. Intimate.
Also, another thing is, what about the Navayogendras with Maharaj Nimi? That's also like a master.
Instructions.
Master instructions also.
In fact, many of these prayers where a devotee is praying with great love and so many instructions are coming out of that, that could be compared to lover and beloved. Because when a devotee is praying to the Lord, but through those intimate prayers, so many instructions we are receiving. So what category that comes?
Yeah.
That Vatsarata Kshudartha. What is the first line of that? The Chatushloki. That is also considered a Chatushloki, the four verses of Vritrasur. And in that, this verse which describes three examples, he says. And can you take out that in the sixth canto? So in this verse, priyam priyeva vishitam vishanna mano arvindaksha dadrakshitetvam. Priyam priyeva vishitam vishanna. I forgot the first word of this. So in this, three examples he gives that just like a bird goes in the nest, goes out of the nest, and then searches for different insects and brings it back for his small child, right? So that child is looking for that, you know, insect which is being brought by the mother. And Vatsarata Kshudartha. Vatsarata is the calf. And the calf is desperately looking for the milk. Ajata paksha iva mataram kshudartha shutam vishanna mano arvindaksha didrikshatetvam. So in this, the Lord is, our Vitrasura is saying, my dear Lord, I am looking forward to see you. Mano arvindaksha didrikshate. I am looking forward to see you, take your darshan, just like the small bird is looking for the mother to return back with the insects, and the calf is looking for when the mother will feed me milk. And priyam priyeva, and the lover is looking for when the beloved will return home. So Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur comments on this, that these are three progressive stages. The first example he gives is that the insect is brought back home. So the child is not looking forward to the mother so much, but the child is actually looking for the insect or the food which will come. So then Vritrasura feels this is not very high level, you know, feeling of separation. So then he comes one stage closer. He says, okay, how calf is looking for the milk. So the milk is also something different from mother. At least it is coming from body of mother. Whereas insect is something obtained from outside. So this is little more intimate. But then still he is not satisfied. Then he says, priyam priyeva. Vishitam Vishanna. How lover is looking for only the love of the beloved. Mano Arvindaksha, O Lotus Eyed One, my mind is always looking for taking your darshan or seeing you. Didrikshate Tvam. Ajata Paksha. Ajata Paksha means a bird whose wings have not yet come out. ajatapaksha iva mataram khaga stanyam yatha vatsarata akshudartha priyam priyaiva vishnam vishanna. So since we are looking for that priyam priyaiva, it's there in this verse. Yeah, like the one before that, which says aham, what is that, aham? Na naka prishtam, na parameshtam, na sarabham, na rasadipatyam, na yoga siddhim, apunarabha, samanjasa. So this samanjasa is a very interesting word. It is a source of all opportunities. So Krishna is the source of all opportunities. Samanjasa naiva virahya kangshe. I don't want anything else, I just want you. Samanjasa, that means he can give everything. But I don't want, it's like, these verses are exactly like Shikshashtak verses. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. So he says, na naka prishtam, na cha parameshtam, na sarabhamam. And this priyam priyeva is just like yugaitam, nimeshena. You know? And the previous one will be like the other one. The previous to Nanaka Prishtam is Aham Harer Tava Padaika Mola Dasanu Dasa Bhavitasmi Bhuya. Dasanu Dasa. Grinita Karma Karotikaya. So Dasanu Dasa Bhavitasmi, when I will be the servant of your servant. You know? Gopi Bhartur Padakamalyur Das Das Dasanu Das. How can I be your servant of your servant? Like that is saying. So, all of these verses are similar to Shikshashtaka. Jai Granthana Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Premanande.